It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Okay, so right out of the box, this program is live. It is Thursday, the 11th day of May, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe around, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. If you're listening live now, though, pop on by the chat room. Squeaky is the early arriver this evening, and we'll greet you ever so joyfully upon your entry into the chat room. Right now, Roger in Oregon is not moderating, but we'll be back along presently. He's running errands right now. So, Squeaky, behave yourself and be nice. Be nice to anybody that comes wandering by, unless it's like Brain or something. Hi, I'm Robin. I'm terribly happy because, obviously, there is still electricity here. And that's just a really, really good thing. So, we've paid off about two-thirds of the extortion demand from Appalachian coal-fried power. They still want more by the 16th, but you know, hopefully we'll make that work. Yesterday was deeply inspiring. I'm so grateful that the community came together to make sure this program was on the air this evening. And once more, I cannot thank you enough. And that's fitting because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so consequently, we say thank you to our 11th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. That means thank you to Christopher in Oregon, and thank you to John in Central PA. Thank you to Tony in Chico. Thank you to David in Oregon. Thank you all so very much for helping to keep this little broadcast experiment on the air. Thank you so much. If you're new to the program and you'd like to help keep it on the air, run over to HeadOn.live. There's a PayPal button there, and you can just make it a recurring monthly thing, you know, $10 a month subscription, what have you. It is all so gratefully appreciated. And because of the way things worked out yesterday, the fundraising goal for today is just $215. That's amazing. $215. And we'll be done until tomorrow. And let's see. I should probably do a program note because, well, yeah, never a dull moment. My beloved daughter has a call for jury duty tomorrow. And they're a one-car household, and you know, like this one. And he has to be, her guy has to be at work. And so Annette and I are going over to pick her up and take her to court so she won't be held in contempt. And hopefully she will be promptly let out of the proceedings for lack of transportation. But it's possible she may also be stuck there. So that's the only wrinkle. If that, if it turns out to be something like that, Annette and I will just come back here, drop me off, and she can go back and wait on Margie. Okay. Fingers crossed that it's ever so much simpler than that. Now, this is Thorn in the Side Thursday. We've got an abundance of thorns to pick from out of our hide. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. The scream is screaming and the packets are passing. And a reminder, if you want to use the Skype line, and you haven't thus far sent me a contact request, please feel free to do so. Skype account is Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And that way we can get that all up and running. There's a bee in your bonnet or a burr under your saddle. I had a note to begin the program from our buddy Baltimore Bob. Subject line, CNN shit show. I admit I avoided watching Nitwit Nero's town hall turned campaign rally last night, but the clips I saw were nauseating enough. When I heard the audience laugh as he described the woman he tried to rape, I was reminded of a scene from Idiocracy. You know, the one where the audience sits there laughing during a feature-length movie of a farting ass. Yeah, the name of the movie was Ass. And CNN got a little closer to that. I agree, Baltimore Bob. It was nauseating. In fact, Flavio says it was open mic night for Trump. A day after Donald Trump was held responsible for the sexual assault and defamation of one professional woman, CNN simply gave him another professional woman to humiliate in front of the nation, and he did, while a room full of adoring worshipers laughed. That from Mark Sumner at Daily Kos. I don't know whether to feel... I feel like I ought to feel bad for Caitlin Collins for having done that thing. For having to abide and endure his vulgar presence, his vulgar existence. I wouldn't want to try that around here. The jury duty, Stephen New York says, can't your daughter just use the GOP subpoena rule, just ignore it and don't go? I don't think they would let her get away with that. But she really shouldn't have to serve simply because she has no independent means of transportation. But I get the joke. Oh, and happy birthday. Happy birthday is in order for our dear friend Ralphs. Very happy birthday to you. I hope you celebrate it well. I hope there's cake and ice cream, and I hope the kitties are happy, and I hope it's just been a lovely, lovely day. So happy birthday, Ralphs. Thank you for being there. And I feel a little safer now because we are now properly moderated in the chat room. Squeaky won't be acting up now because a longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, has arrived. He's the third stage guild navigator, Sparky is, but... he has chosen not to fold space this fine afternoon. Oh, and another reminder. Tara Devlin of TerraBuster and I will be filling in for Malloy this evening and tomorrow and Monday. So hopefully pop on by at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific over at Progressive Voices on TuneIn. And enjoy the conversation. I love working with Tara. It just feels like we have a synergy there that, well, just really works in a from a broadcast standpoint. Thanks, Ralph. Kayla is resting, sitting in the sun, coming through the blinds. Hi, Kayla, sweet kitty. In regard, we will go into greater detail, regarding the moderatrix last night, Stephen New York says, highly technical IT cable media technology. Fuck her and anyone remotely associated with that pile of Oompa Loompa shit last night. I just really don't like... I don't think there are no journalistic ethics involved with a shitstorm like that. And I confess, like Baltimore Bob, I didn't bother with it. I mean, I don't have to stand in a shitstorm to know that it's a shitstorm. Look out the window. So, in point of fact, what I did was I paid the power bill. I did the upload, and Annette and I watched some screen. And I feel like my evening was immensely better spent that way. But I did read the... That's true. Randy Radar pointing out, cats are solar powered, you know. I'll just find, if there's a sunbeam on a floor, a kitty cat will be in it. And as far as Tara is concerned, Steve says, as hillbillies and Ohio-uns say, she's good people. Tara is good people. Tara's great people. But the bottom line is, that thing last night was ugly. And Chris Licht, I don't know, but he's the CEO of CNN, and he's apparently doing a horrible job. Well, he said it was a great day for Chicken Noodle News. He's just so darn proud of what they did. They had a company-wide conference this morning. He said, while we may all have been uncomfortable hearing people clapping, that was also an important part of the story. Because Trump supporters are a large swath of America. That's the thing, though. It was not an honestly brokered event. It was deliberately pre-packed with hardcore maggots at St. Anselm College in New Hampshire. And that's why they behaved as atrociously as they did. It was so bad. Well, Flavio said, silver lining. Mercifully, the town hall was ended 20 minutes early. It was supposed to be an hour and a half. All three ongoing criminal cases got new evidence tonight against Trump, tweeted National Security Attorney Bradley Moss. He's confessing on live television. There were prosecutors and agents taking note tonight. tweeted former U.S. Attorney Joyce White Vance. And Randy Radar, you are correct. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the shit blows. And it was such shit. That's true too, Emilio. A Shih Tzu storm, on the other hand, might be really fun and adorable. Shih Tzus are cute. But Chris Light Licked Lish, not sure, praised Caitlin Collins. He said, "You do not have to like the former president's answers, but you can't say that we didn't get them." Caitlin pressed him again and again and made news. Made lots of news. What's the point in pressing a liar? And by the way, while we're at it, can somebody pretty please explain to me why she kept referring to him as President Trump? There is only one president of the United States at a time, and he happens to be Joseph Robinette Biden until at least January the 20th, 2025. The lies were quite honestly too much to keep up with, and that was part of the scam. It didn't matter what got said. It was all about him grunting at the camera and giving free rein to his toxically neurodivergent brain. And E. Jean Carroll may just sue him again, according to the New York Times, a third time after what he said about her yesterday evening. That I would think that would be entirely appropriate. And even, by the way, even Chicken Noodle News' own media correspondent blistered, Oliver Darcy blistered his own employer for airing that trash. I wonder how long he'll have a job. And prosecutors probably really were paying attention because he had the right to remain silent, but he was too stupid to exercise it. So, and Nitwit Nero may be in trouble with Judge Kaplan in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan. Because yesterday was, for all intents and purposes, practically daring the judge to hold him in contempt. And so, the ball is in Kaplan's court. There's almost too much stupidity to list in all of what happened last night. Of course, he hauled out his trademark nasty.
"You're a nasty person. You're a nasty person," he said to Caitlin Collins.
Because Caitlin Collins was inquiring
about the documents that he stole.
They raided my house. They didn't raid the house of Joe Biden. They didn't raid Obama. They raided my house.
And that's when Caitlin Collins said, well, Joe Biden didn't ignore a subpoena to get those documents back like you did. That's the question investigators have, I think. It's why you held onto these documents when you knew federal government was seeking them and then giving you a subpoena to return them.
Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yes, what's the answer? I'd like you to answer the question. That's what I asked it.
It's very simple. You're a nasty person. I'll tell you.
And, of course, the maggots brayed and hooted and clapped and, I don't know, tried to force their entire hands into their mouths. Just awful. But that's what they showed up for. They showed up for a wrestling match. People are calling CNN's decision a disaster. A human rights lawyer and radio host, Kasim Rashid, said, so if I got this right, the CNN town hall with the jury verdict sexual abuser has so far made the audience laugh about sexual abuse, promoted the horrid family separation atrocity, promoted election denialism and the big lie. Democracy apparently dies on primetime TV. The former governor, Chris Krispy Kreme, said, Donald Trump says he would end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours tonight on CNN, despite how ridiculous that is to say. I suspect he would try to do it by turning Ukraine over to Putin and Russia. He couldn't even answer who he wanted to win in that conflict. And Adam Kinzinger pointed that out, saying, for Trump not to say he wants Ukraine to win is insane. He's not home. That's not an excuse. He is simply not okay. And I suspect we're going to find out more and more as the days go by. And, of course, over at my Filthy Morning Habit this morning, I almost got the idea that Joe Scarborough, who has become entirely, as Steve in New York said yesterday, capital W woke, he seemed, well, I guess you could say kind of flabbergasted. I don't know why, but, you know.
College-educated women voters to the Republican Party, for those who either watched in real time last night or reading the headlines this morning. And this goes exactly to what you and I discussed last week, Joe, and what is going to be a major central topic going into 2024, something that was covered extensively in the draft GOP autopsy report that my colleagues reported on, which said that Republicans not only need to learn to talk about issues issues like abortion in a more moderate and centrist way by supporting things like exceptions when it comes to abortion bans, but also in terms of tone. And that tone that you saw last night is the exact opposite of what people like Ronna McDaniel have been advising GOP candidates. They have been recommending to candidates to address these sensitive topics head on, to be compassionate, take a page from Joe Biden's notebook, and have a tone that is more inclusive and brings women into the fold, or at least makes them feel like the Republican Party can be an ally to women.
Yeah, and of course, speaking of women, I didn't even talk about mothers who are now afraid to send their children to school because of what happens all too often, and because of Donald Trump's Republican Party unwilling to do anything to protect our children in schools, in churches, in synagogues, country music festivals, and shopping malls, and grocery stores, you name it. Willie, I just have to ask. What the hell? What the hell was it with that audience? What were they thinking putting that audience in there where it was those weren't undecided voters. It was a pep rally for Donald Trump.
Oh, come on. You don't populate a wrestling match with opera fans, okay? I mean, I get his I understand what, and by the way, it would be great if this was, look, okay, yeah, the prodigal son, kill the fatted calf, what have you. But he was, it's not like Republicans have refused to do anything about the proliferation of firearms in this country only since Nitwit Nero in 2016. Joe was serving in the House of Representatives when they were all barking and grunting and hooting about letting the assault weapons ban expire. More on that in a moment. Oh, thank you. Steve in New York said, it's Chris licked, as in he licked Trump's ass. Last night should have been an in-kind campaign contribution because it had Trump's campaign slogan and text Trump to 88022 was on the back wall. These are plain and simple campaign solicitations. Ms. Carroll suing him again? We now know that the sexual contact issue is collateral estoppel. Yeah, and well, I wonder, I actually know what that term means. But I also I wonder what the previous finding that he engaged in actual malice and willful, wanton, reckless behavior has. At this point in time, could the could pattern and practice come into play so that, you know, she just, E. Jean Carroll just picks up the phone and goes, yes, sue him again. Cool. Click. Sue him again. Click. Sue him again. Click. Sue him some more. Again. Click.
Where they mocked and ridiculed the CNN anchor. Where they mocked and ridiculed a woman who was sexually abused by the man on stage, they were applauding. What was with that audience? How was that audience selected?
I don't know how they did, but you're right. It was advertised as Republicans and undecided voters in New Hampshire, which, as Jen said a minute ago, there is a tradition of town halls. I've done some of them with Hillary Clinton and with candidates on both sides of the aisle, and you get good questions from smart, engaged voters that challenge the candidate up there. That's not what we got last night. There was no challenge. Caitlin Collins was alone on stage on her own network's town hall meeting. And John Meacham, as you watch that, you do wonder, let's say Ron DeSantis does get in the race a couple of weeks from now. Does he really have a shot against that, though, when that passionate Trump wing, the loudest and most vocal and strongest part of that base, is so enthralled with Donald Trump and cheers all the things we've been laying out here for the last 30 minutes, all of the abhorrent statements, all of the lies, all the insults. It appears to be what that part of the Republican Party, which is most of it, if you look at the polling right now, wants, and that Donald Trump will.
None of that is wrong. It is what they want. It's who the hell they are. There is a segment of this country that is ugly, mean-spirited, hateful, vindictive, pissy, and moreover, just plain awful. The question is, how much of our country is that way? See, we know how awful the Republican Party is, and that's why I think ultimately, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think so. Ultimately, I think he will make short work of Ron Monkey Up DeSantis if Monkey Up gets in. Hell, Monkey Up's getting the shit beaten out of him by Mickey Mouse. And when Nitwit Nero starts to, you suck. You just suck. You backstabber, you only became governor because of me. You suck. It's a wrestling match. And the audience will clap and cheer and yell, you suck, at DeSantis. More than the content of this thing itself, well, the greater concern is CNN. There was a time when I was really, really proud to have worked there. There's a lot of good work going on. Real live journalism. I even committed some of it. But that day appears to be gone. And Matt in San Francisco asks, I don't know how you go from producing The Late Show with Stephen Colbert to CEO of CNN. Chris Licht. Is it the same Chris Licht? And Matt says something we're probably all thinking. We're all in for a repeat of what we lived through in 2016 and 2020. So much winning.
So much winning.
Do they still make those big hooks they use to drag performers off the stage at the Apollo? Lord knows it would be useful at this point. I don't know if they still make those, Matt, but hopefully they still make Thorazine darts and blowguns. It was just so revolting, so utterly awful. But it's, you know, going on about, you know, you get good questions from an audience in New Hampshire. I'm so old that I remember when a Republican pageant audience cheered when Ron Paul talked about letting people die laying on the floors in the hallways of hospitals because they didn't have health care. Y'all remember it too, right? Mm-hmm. Flavio says, Steve Schmidt wrote, here's what CNN did tonight. They produced a global television event for an unhinged pathological liar in front of an audience of sycophants and called it news. It was an abomination. His pal Rick Wilson, as Flavio points out, didn't mince words either. Call that up. Now, Rick Wilson said, I have words. And he apparently has about a minute and 4 seconds worth of them.
We're in a break now from the presidential town hall with CNN, Caitlin Collins. And whatever the fuck they thought they were going to get out of this, they instead have set a match to democracy once again. You are letting an insane person stand there and make people giggle and laugh when he jokes about rape. You make people giggle and laugh when he jokes about abortion, when he calls an African-American police officer a thug. This insanity should be pulled off the fucking air. Chris Licht, you should be ashamed of yourself. This is astoundingly bad for the brand of CNN. It's astoundingly bad for the country. And it's astoundingly bad, honestly, folks, for every other Republican candidate in the primaries. Wrap that shit up. It's done. You saw this tonight. You know you can't beat him on the stage. Everybody else, oars up. Time to go to work because he's going to be the nominee. This shit is unfucking believable. I've never seen anything like it. It is a disaster of the highest fucking degree.
He's not wrong. And yeah, Chris Licht. By the way, here's the fun. Thank you, Ralph, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Chris Licht Research Department. He's had his hand in a lot of programs. He was the showrunner and executive producer for Stephen Colbert's show. He also was involved with launching, wait for it, he's known for having launched Morning Joe on MSNBC. He's the guy who gave Joe his job. Wonder what that felt like for Joe. Talking about that ugly pile of shit today. Being the thing that he aired last night. And, you know, just a little known fact from what Ralph's just sent along. Chris Licht had a cerebral hemorrhage while he was driving in Washington, D.C. back in 2010, 13 years ago. Then he wrote a memoir about it. Art Buchwald wrote a memoir about his brain aneurysm. I think it was probably a better story. Art Buchwald's story was called I'd Like to Thank My Brain for Remembering Me. But when you consider the content of yesterday, it puts in a particularly vulgar context the fact that when Chris Licht had his cerebral hemorrhage, then Vice President Joe Biden cold called Dr. Vivek Deshmukh, who is a world-famous neurosurgeon, and asked him to care for Chris Licht. Because Joe Biden survived an aneurysm in his own right. And so nonetheless, Chris Licht platformed a pathological liar who pathologically lied about the man who took steps to make sure that he, Chris Licht, got the best possible care in the world. I don't think I would turn my back on that man in a blind alley. Ralphs, I'd be careful. That's Kayla is giving you a look. Oh, and those 400 town hall audience members, Flavio notes, you know damn well what went down. Trump told Licht he would appear only on condition of a worshipful audience. CNN wanted the ratings for their shareholders. It was negotiated from beginning to end. The fix was in. As the boys down at the betting parlor say, it was a boat race. I hope this doesn't wind up just eating the entire program. It's already taken 40 minutes of it. That was all just so damned ugly. Hey, David, South Carolina, Stan. Present danger. As recent as 2008, I could safely put campaign yard signs in my yard. I could put bumper stickers on my vehicle. I could wear a campaign t-shirt in public. Now I do not dare. I live in a rural area, so certainly could be burned out or shot in my yard or shot out in public. This is not hyperbole. David, I know it's not. You're not exaggerating in the least. And I know that because it is very similar to the life I lead here. No yard signs. Well, I put a yard sign up for myself, but when I ran for office last year. But generally speaking, no. We've had things. Hell, we had a, what was it? I think it was a 7-ball, maybe a 3. Thrown at our house when we had a yard sign up promoting a wind energy project. This has become a toxic country. And we just see the toxicity more clearly through the nitwit Nero lens, but Republicans have been this way for a very long time. Darlene in Connecticut says, that CNN town hall with that narcissistic piece of shit is a new low for the Fourth Estate. The for-profit media are normalizing him and his insanity. He is not qualified to run. This is so dangerous. This culture, society, country, et al. Is sick. It is disgustingly dysfunctional. We cannot succeed as a nation like this. You cannot win against a seething narcissist. You can't. You simply must not engage at all with him. The media is so fucking stupid, whether it's ABC, CBS, NBC, CBS this morning with that Deborah Rodriguez, whatever the hell her name is, with an upbeat inflection in her voice on the town hall with Trump, and then the idiot went ahead and said, for the first time in 2 years, Dianne Feinstein has returned to the Senate. She is in a wheelchair. First time in 2 years, she's been gone for 2 years, you fucking idiot. The Fourth Estate is full of fucking idiots. I'm not going to fight over that. Because they're not involved with the generation of news and information. They're involved with the generation of ratings and profits. Plain and simple. I mean, the dumb bastard, the lying bastard, the narcissistic bastard. Claimed that he sent the National Guard to the Capitol on January the 6th, 2021. And then tried to put the blame off on Nancy Pelosi and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
Excuse me.
You know how I do it.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Miller's a fantastic guy and is ready to go. They turned him down. If you look at the mayor of Washington, D.C., lovely lady. She said, we don't want it. We don't like the look. Nancy Pelosi said, we don't like the look. If they would have had, I offered them 10,000 soldiers. So it could be 10,000. It could be more. If they would have taken 500 soldiers, you wouldn't have had the problem. They turned it down. You look at the Inspector General's report. It says they turned it down and they made a terrible mistake.
And Caitlin Collins even there said, well, you know, Miller didn't say, he said you never gave any such order.
He did not say that.
The sky is blue.
It's purple.
This is straight out, you remember the movie, this is straight out of Don't Look Up. Never mind the comet that is bearing down on planet Earth, don't look up, and you won't have to worry about the comet. This is that. You know, when Darlene says you simply must not engage at all with him, isn't that Matthew Broderick in War Games back in the 80s? Talking to the computer, would you like to play a game? And everybody has to wait on the edge of their seat until the computer AI figures out that there's no way to win at tic-tac-toe. And that the only way to win is not to play. And yet here we are. And they will continue. Look, you want to know what's going to happen out of this? The reputational damage to CNN will be managed and mitigated. And sooner or later, Rupee over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda will send someone belly crawling over to Trump, cringing and bowing and scraping, offering him the exact same thing, only in, I don't know, Iowa. They will literally run his, they will give him free campaign advertising space, and then ABC will do it, and then NBC will do it, because it's a good dollar. Randy Radar says the media can't let go of Trump. He's too much of a draw. And Randy Radar is correct. Billable Rick says, have I been asleep for up is down and down is up? Have I been asleep for 10 years and awakened in an alternate universe? Based on this Fox News headline from 1 hour ago, I must conclude that the answer to my question is a resounding yes. Headline, CNN must fire CEO Chris Licht to take accountability for Trump town hall. Wow. Of course, that's just the usual internecine squabbling back and forth between a pair of siblings. But the Fox News story actually cites to Ultraviolet, which is a women's advocacy organization, so they report. And they went after CNN for enabling him by enabling Nitwit Nero by hosting the town hall. Hosting the hour-long campaign ad. It was a fucking infomercial, please. And after the damn thing was over, Ultraviolet said, CNN's town hall was a disaster. CNN knew Donald Trump would lie about the 2020 election and make reckless and untrue claims about everything from January the 6th to abortion. He even mocked E. Jean Carroll the day after a federal court convicted him of defamation and sexual abuse against her. CNN not only allowed Trump to do so, they enabled him. The network must take accountability by firing CEO Chris Licht,
who knowingly broadcasted lies and conspiracies on national television. Licht stacked the deck in Trump's favor in a desperate attempt to seize ratings. This is unacceptable. Regardless of his relationship with Trump, it's clear Chris Licht is not up to leading a credible national news network. Hell, I'd be better at it. CNN had every opportunity to implement a one-minute delay and fact-check Donald Trump's lies in real time, but they refused. The network flagrantly compromised its journalistic integrity for ratings and viewership. Shame on them. They were pretty hot. Unless something significantly changes, Donald Trump will be the 2024 Republican presidential candidate. We need to figure out how the free press can safeguard our democracy with an unrepentant demagogue on the ballot. As evidenced by last night's embarrassing display, CNN appears unfazed. If the network has any ethics left, they'll fire Chris Licht immediately. They even tweeted, Chris Licht may be in cahoots with Trump or simply not up to the task of leading a credible national news network. But there he was this morning, braying about what a success it was. Shauna Thomas is the executive director of Ultraviolet. She said, when media outlets like CNN give Trump a platform, they do a disservice to all their viewers. Contrary to the network's excuses, hosting a town hall with Trump isn't about hearing both sides. It's a brazen ploy to seize ratings. Sue him again, E. Jean Carroll. Sue him again. Flavio asking, so you think Licht will give Biden equal time with an equally pliant audience after Biden saved his life? Yeah, right. Here's the sad fact of the matter, Flavio. Joe Biden is not the same kind of draw. Because Joe Biden is a serious politician. He's not a circus act. He's not a wrestling villain. This is a good time for us all to remember that he got his real start in media, not with The Apprentice. Nitwit Nero got his start in media in wrestling. Plain and simple. David in South Carolina, Stan, noting the SEC schools, maybe they can start losing football recruits to PAC and other places due to state politics within the Confederacy. Well, that might change some things, don't you think? Wonder how West Virginia basketball recruiting's going now. But then again, everybody always knew that Bob Huggins was an asshole. We got to move on from this at some point. So let's go to Florida. Yesterday, Wednesday evening, the Florida House of Representatives passed SB 1580 HB 1403. The Senate had previously passed it. This is chilling. It allows health care providers and insurers the leeway. It gives them a right to refuse medical treatment to patients because of their conscience and their sincerely held religious beliefs. The bill is titled the Protections of Medical Conscience Act. It will now go to Ron Monkey Up DeClantis' desk. Now, the bill says that healthcare providers can't turn anybody away based on their race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. In other words, the bill has two very specific targets. And they're all within the LGBTQ plus umbrella. Democrats in Florida tried to amend the bill to include LGBTQ plus protections, but the Republicans said, oh, hell no. Anna Escamani is a Democrat in the Florida legislature, and she made plain what it'll do. She said, a nurse could refuse to provide a doctor's prescription for fertility drugs to a single woman or someone who identifies as a lesbian. Nursing homes could refuse to provide elderly transgender residents for their ongoing hormone treatment. Another Democrat in the Florida House, Michelle Raynor Goolsbee, who herself is in a same-sex marriage, said the sponsor of the bill purports that this bill doesn't discriminate, but listen, y'all, I'm old enough, I am black enough, and I am queer enough, and I'm woman enough to know that the impact of this bill, and I would argue the very intent of this bill, is to discriminate against folks. Then she tweeted and said, we just voted on one of the most offensive bills of the session, which allows doctors to discriminate in giving care to people due to a conscience objection. Like, what are the Republicans even doing? And then she said, signy die, can't come quick enough. The Latin term for the end of a legislative session, or judicial session for that matter. And so 28-11... they passed the bill, and it's probably already on Ron Monkey Up DeClantis' desk. The sponsor of the bill was Dr. Joel Rudman, a Republican and a member of the Florida House. He describes himself as a patriotic doctor who follows three documents, the Bible, the Constitution, and the Hippocratic Oath. Well, what the fuck happened to first do no harm, you asshole? He described his bill as the entire reason that he is there in the Florida legislature. He lied and said there's nothing in this bill that legalizes discrimination. What the hell is it there, Dr. Welby? They are trying to create a purge. They want every last openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, queer, queer questioning, intersex, asexual person. They want every last one of them out of the state. Never realizing, of course, that they can never do it, but they can damn sure try. And it feels like just about everything the Florida legislature has done in this session is going to wind up in court. And maybe that's the intent, too. Overwhelm the judicial system down there so that something inevitably slips through, or maybe a lot of it. Irish Dave asking, why does the phrase lack the capacity and the will for strategic thought occur to me? Gee, I wonder. News Ninja Gene across the pond says, did Florida include disability? I doubt it. I didn't see disability in there. When I read the list. Did you hear it, Gene? Because I didn't. Oh, we have a Slappy Thomas sighting. Oh, let me go back. As regarding that spectacle, that vulgar spectacle last night, Stephen New York said, I kept hearing Les Moonves talking, saying, it may not be good for the country, but he's great for CBS. And Steve added, I had a dream. It's deeply rooted in the American dream, and I've never had such a dream before. Without getting into details, I dreamed I was in a department store. I was checking out, and the person standing next to me pulled out a gun. There was more to it, but when I woke up, it chilled me to the bone. I had a gun nightmare the other night. There was someone in my house, and they meant to attack Annette and me. And I woke up and I looked at the clock and I said, good God, because it was 3:30 in the morning. The first words out of my mouth when I woke up were, that was awful. I suspect, you know, Steve, yeah, you had that, and I did, and I suspect that we're not the only ones. Which part, Tamara? Robin. Wait, what? Oh, and Micah said earlier when we were talking about, almost at the same time I said it, point of order, the Republican Party was unwilling to do any of that stuff, you know, reining in semi-automatic assault weapons before Donald Trump showed up on the scene. I'll blame a lot on him, but there's inability to help the whole gun issue is not entirely his problem. No, he's just the toxic national fascist fascinated id of this country writ large in Comic Sans. No, but I mentioned Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas, the goddess of irony, has found her way to the Supreme Court building. They issued a decision today. The Supremes did. Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch authored the majority opinion. It was a case involving a man named Joseph Prococo. At one point in time, he was an aide to then New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. And he was federally charged with accepting money from a local developer. And in 2018, he was convicted of conspiracy to commit honest services wire fraud. Prococo said, you can't do that. I wasn't even a member of government. I wasn't an employee of government at the time. At the time, he was actually part of Andrew Cuomo's re-election campaign. Gorsuch did not author the majority opinion. He authored a concurrence. The majority opinion, well, it avoided ruling on whether the honest government law, honest services law, I should say. They didn't rule on whether or not it applies to government, governmental, non-governmental, whatever. But that wasn't enough for Ann's boy, Neil. Oh, no. He said, Gorsuch did, to this day, no one knows what honest services fraud encompasses. I somehow doubt that's true. And the Constitution's promise of due process does not tolerate that kind of uncertainty in our laws, especially when criminal sanctions loom. The legislature must identify the conduct it wishes to prohibit, and its prohibition must be knowable in advance, not a lesson to be learned by individuals only when the prosecutor comes calling or the judge debuts a novel charging instruction. Now we get to the punchline. Guess who signed off on that concurrence? Ha! That's right. Himself. Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can, Fappy Thomas.
That's right. We don't know what bribery is. The Constitution won't tell. It was just a $500,000 vacation.
Right.
It's not bribery. Well, that's a bribery law, and it's too vague. Especially for me.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Not clear enough.
And the fact that Ann's boy Neil suddenly is braying about equal protection? No. Well, Fappy signed off on it because he cited equal protection, not due process. Because remember, in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, Fappy said he wanted cases brought to him so that they could strike down the idea, the very idea of substantive due process. The concept that undergirds things like interracial marriage, marriage equality, workplace non-discrimination, being able to love who you love. But that's not equal protection. That's substantive due process. Oh, no, Tamara. I said that was a dream. I woke up in a cold sweat, 3:30 in the morning. It was just so vivid, though, because I could see them. It was a dream, and a very real one, and a very terrifying one. I'm sorry if I did not mean to. I didn't mean to startle you. So here we are, an hour and 10 minutes into this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Plenty thorny, don't you think? Entered the program needing to raise $215 to stay even after last night's miracle, and thank each and every one of you for that. Thank you. Let's see. I wonder when... No, don't wonder. You'll get an answer you don't want, Robin. But the fact that Fappy agrees that, who knows what a bribe is? And, of course, years back, Justice Anthony Kennedy said that just because you give a politician money and the politician does what you want them to do doesn't necessarily mean it's bribery. That's really in the decisional law of the highest court in the United States of America. It's kind of exactly what Fappy did, isn't it? Well, we were in Florida a few minutes ago. Might as well stay there for a second. This is horrifying. Florida man Sean M. Stone, age 32, has been placed under arrest. He was arrested because he used a mop handle to beat his girlfriend's 5-year-old skull because the child wet the bed, you know, at 5. The girlfriend, the mama, was at a doctor's appointment with her other child, and she checked in on her phone to look in on the baby, the 5-year-old. And what she saw instead was Sean M. Stone, 32, bet I know how he votes, standing over her boy and punching him in the head. And the boy rolled up into the fetal position. Stone kept kicking the child as he pleaded with him to stop, but Stone allegedly got a mop and used it to hit him even more. The little fellow was bruised on his face and his thigh. He was black-eyed, bruised on the top of his head. His lip was busted, and his skull was fractured. He will face charges in Florida of aggravated child abuse. If the little kid had been trans, he probably would walk in Florida. On the other hand, every now and then, back to the Supreme Court. Every now and then, the Supreme Court actually manages to do something right. I can't explain this. By a 9-0 decision with Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson writing the opinion, all 9 of them agreed that Estrella Santos Zacharia should be allowed to argue for asylum in the United States of America. She fled to the United States from Guatemala after she was raped as a young teenager and threatened with death. She was picked up by immigration, and she begged and pleaded with the immigration judge to let her stay in the United States because she would face rape and persecution and death back in Guatemala. She came to the United States as a teenager. She's now in her 30s. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against her on whether she deserved another day in court. Other appellate courts, however, had ruled in favor of immigrants on the same legal technical issue. And Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, and I'm proud of her for this, said that the Fifth United States Circuit Court of Appeals was wrong. Having made it to the United States, she was deported in 2008. She came back to the United States again 10 years later and was immediately arrested by immigration authorities. She gave testimony that she was raped by a neighbor in the small town where she was born and grew up, and the people in the small town said they were going to kill her because of her gender identity and the fact that she liked guys. Between 2008 and 2018, she was in Mexico, but she tried one more time to get to the United States, because while in Mexico, she was raped there by a gang. It is the formal opinion of the State Department of the United States that Guatemala does very little, something near nothing, to protect the LGBTQ community there. The State Department has further noted that transgender women are frequently threatened with violence and victims of it. So this doesn't mean she gets to stay, it just means she gets to make another argument. One wonders how many rapes a woman must survive before the United States will let her in. Then again, if she could get to Canada, don't stay here, honey. Get on, keep going. Go to Canada. They'll treat you like a human being, maybe. What is not clear in the story is where she was arrested, whether it was California, Arizona, New Mexico, godforsaken Texas. She could probably be safe in California. She could probably be safe in New Mexico. Her life would be every bit as much or more at risk in Arizona, and God alone knows, in Texas. But 9-0. Probably because it was very technical in nature. Randy Weingarten, meanwhile, president of the American Federation of Teachers, I guess is causing a bit of a controversy. She, on her Twitter account, linked to an AI tool that would crawl someone's social media accounts to see if there were any potentially harmful posts. Weingarten said, "Our union is here for you to help you help you future-proof your social media. AFT Union has partnered with LifeBrand for a 25% discount off the cost of this powerful tool. This scans your social media to catch forgotten posts that may not reflect who you are today." And AFT officials have apparently used the tool. And it helps get rid of problematic posts forever. I'm sure this will drive marginal trailer queen or clanny granny Lauren Boebert more bananas. And the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda story points to a teacher in Washington State who said that guidelines and laws for many school systems don't help them keep students' information secret from what she referred to as Christo-fascist parents. You know, parents who would be a danger to the safety and health and well-being of their child. That horrible teacher said to parents, check your school district's policy regarding keeping info about your child secret from you. There are some scary policies out there. Schools should not have a right to keep info about your child from you unless abuse by you is suspected. There, I said it and mean it. Teacher Karen Love responded and said, I cannot disagree with this more. So many students are not safe in this nation from their Christo-fascist parents, and our guidelines and laws haven't caught up with this. Good for Ms. Love, because she's right. As to the Supreme Court asylum case, Billable Rick says, since the asylum case arose from an appeal of the Fifth Circuit decision, that's right. The petitioner must have been arrested in Texas, as that state is within the Fifth Circuit, whereas Arizona and California are both in the Ninth. That's true. That poor woman. Poor, poor woman. Let her stay long enough to get her shit together so she can go somewhere with a semblance of civilization. The American disease has apparently metastasized again, this time in the UK. Their horrible Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is pushing immigration legislation to try to stop migrants crossing the English Channel in small boats. Among the provisions of that horrid immigration proposal is to send people who arrive in the UK illegally to Rwanda, and permanently banning them from ever being able to seek asylum or citizenship in the UK. There were about 45,000 arrivals of migrants in small boats crossing the English Channel last year. And Rishi Sunak, my goodness gracious, there's no irony there, is there? Has vowed to stop the boats. Human rights advocates have excoriated the proposed legislation and using his position as a member of the House of Lords, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has blasted the legislation as morally unacceptable. This bill fails utterly to take a long-term and strategic view of the challenges of migration. It is morally unacceptable and politically impractical to let the poorest countries deal with the crisis alone and cut our international aid. Sadly, the bill cleared the House of Commons last month. It was opposed by members of all the primary parties in the Commons. here is, my goodness gracious, is as Archbishop of Canterbury, is he also a doctor? Is he? Please tell me it's a, please tell me he's Dr. Welby. But he was unshrinking in his denunciation.
My lords, we need a bill to reform migration. We need a bill to stop the boats. We need a bill to destroy the evil tribe of traffickers. The tragedy is that without much change, this is not that bill. This bill fails utterly to take a long-term and strategic view of the challenges of migration and undermines international cooperation, rather than taking an opportunity for the UK to show leadership, as we did in 1951. There are too many problems for one speech in this bill, and the Right Reverend Prelates, the Bishop of Durham and Bishop of Gloucester, will speak to other issues. But I hope the government will listen to the speeches today pointing out some of the issues, including the eloquent and detailed speech by the noble Lord, Lord Coker. The existing global conventions and agreements need updating in response to the crises we face today. While now inadequate, what those conventions offer is a baseline from which to build a globally shared understanding of what protection must be given to refugees. They are not inconvenient obstructions to get round by any legislative means necessary. Legal compatibility is a question for the learned lawyers among your lordships, but it does not require a lawyer to see that what is suggested is a dramatic departure from what was ever envisaged in international law since 1951. Even if this bill succeeded in temporarily stopping the boats, and I don't think it will, it won't stop conflict or climate migration. The IPCC forecasts that climate change by itself, let alone the conflicts it's already causing, will lead to at least 800 million more refugees a year in total by 2050. And what if other countries follow suit? The UNHCR has warned that the bill could lead to the collapse of the international system that protects refugees. Is that what we want the United Kingdom's contribution to be in our leadership? Currently, 80% of refugees are still in the global south, protected by the poorest countries in the world. Of course, we cannot take everyone, and nor should we. But this bill has no sense at all of the long term and of the global nature of the challenge that the world faces. It ignores the reality that migration must be engaged with at source as well as in the channel, as if we as a country were unrelated to the rest of the world. It is a siloed bill, not a whole of government bill. It does not draw in conflict management and prevention, which drives migration. It does not draw in climate impacts, which drive migration and conflict. It is isolationist. It is morally unacceptable and politically impractical to let the poorest countries deal with the crisis alone and cut our international aid. Nor is there any measure in this bill for engaging with the criminal gangs of traffickers directly and offensively, rather than trusting simply to what appears to be the unpredictability of market forces, as if traffickers were rationally trained economic actors and not appalling criminals. There must be safe legal routes put in place as soon as illegal, unsafe routes begin to be attacked. We cannot wait for the years that will take place before that happens. My lords, this bill is an attempt at a short-term fix. It risks great damage to the UK's interests and reputation at home and abroad, let alone the interests of those in need of protection or the nations who together face this challenge. Our interests as a nation are closely linked to our reputation for justice and the rule of law, and to our measured language, calm decision, and careful legislation. None of those are seen here. Long-term, globally coordinated solutions must be part of the way forward. This nation should lead internationally, not stand apart. I intend to table amendments at committee stage which encourage this longer-term thinking and collaborative focus, including a plan for combating traffickers and working with international partners to look at updating the 1951 Convention. Nevertheless, I hope that this House will not support Lord Paddock's excellent, sympathetic, and carefully put amendment. I agree with its sentiment, but I also believe that, as Lord Coker has said, it is our duty to change, not to throw out the bill. And finally, as one might expect from these benches, in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus calls us to welcome the stranger. That call has been part of the history and culture in this country for centuries, and was part of the drive for the Modern Slavery Act. I urge the government to reconsider much of the bill, which fails to live up to our history, our moral responsibility, and our political and international interests.
Here's the interesting thing. That caused no small amount of a shitstorm. Because even though he offered it in measured and reasonable tones and didn't bark or grunt or bray, the immigration minister, Robert Jenrick, said he was wrong. There's nothing moral, he said, about allowing the pernicious trade of people smugglers to continue. I disagree with him respectfully. By bringing forward this proposal, we make it clear that if you come across illegally on a small boat, you'll not find a route to life in the UK. Oh, God. But if you come across in a yacht, you're welcome in the UK. Is that the point here? Now, I'm asking for a prime minister. Rishi Sunak is not having the best time. Our pal Claire pointed this out a week or so ago. He really took it on the chin in local elections recently, and Keir Starmer was there, leader of the opposition, to make sure that he got the barb in nice and deep and gave it a nice twist.
The Prime Minister said he was going to lose 1,000 seats, and then he managed it. After 13 years, a Tory promise they actually haven't broken. And this is the Prime Minister who's only had to fight for two things in his life. Last year, he lost a Tory beauty contest to the member for South West Norfolk, who then lost to a lettuce. Last week, when he finally came into contact with voters, he lost everywhere. No matter who the electorate is, the Prime Minister keeps entering a two-horse race and somehow finishing third. Given his track record, who does he think he's actually got a mandate from?
Mr. Speaker, it's a bit rich to hear about mandates from the person who's broken every single promise he was elected on. I mean, go through the list, Mr. Speaker. Nationalisations, NHS outsourcing, universal credit, and now tuition fees. He was, Mr. Speaker, he was for them all before he was against them. He's not just the softy, he's the flaky too.
I confess, I find it entertaining. But seriously, going back to the migration bill that's under consideration, a big part of that involves the UK just thumbed its nose at the European Court of Human Rights. And as critics have pointed out, the migration plan trashes international law, and even more, perhaps horrifyingly, threatens the viability of modern proscriptions on slavery. Jeremy asking, since when were slave ships small? Jesus Christ, some of them carried over 300 enslaved people. Fuck all these wine babies who don't want to acknowledge their country's historical wrongs. And Steve in New York points out, Rishi Sunak ain't even the worst one. Diablo number one is Suella Braverman, whose parents arrived in the UK as refugees. She's truly awful. She and Rishi are both Backpfeifengeschicht, if that's the word. Here's a fun little moment. Well, from my standpoint, someone broke into a Russian airfield. And having broken into a Russian airfield, they set fire to a supersonic jet bomber. Mm-hmm. And nobody anywhere near the airbase even knew it happened until they saw it on social media. There's a Ukrainian organization called the Freedom of Russia Legion. It's comprised of defectors from Russia and Belarus. The plane was an Su-24. It was based in or near Novosibirsk, Siberia, 2,000 miles east of Ukraine. And the video has made the rounds. A Ukrainian government advisor named Anton Gerashenko tweeted the video. It has since disappeared from Twitter. Yeah. Trying to mitigate the humiliation, the Russian government said, Su-24 was in for repairs. Okay. So security forces finally ambled into the Novosibirsk aviation plant, and they found a 1990 Su-24 burnt to the ground with what they called signs of arson. The saboteurs just cut through the chain link fence and went and burned it. meanwhile, Mother Muscovy, said, "The plane was not completely destroyed. It is not particularly damaged." Yeah, okay. They had victory over Germany Day on May the 9th in Mother Muscovy. And usually it's a big to-do. Not this year. Because they didn't have as much shit to parade down Red Square. There was only one tank in the whole parade. There wasn't a single aircraft. Because it's all either in service or, well, destroyed. Over on Facebook earlier today, our dear friend Joy. Was it you, Joy? Or was it... let me check real quick. Yeah, it was Joy. Hey, Joy. Next on CNN, a town hall with Vlad Putin, who will explain how he is repelling invasion of Russia by Ukrainian Jewish Nazis. That post kind of gave me the creeps. Because, well, it may be something Chris Licht could definitely be into. I know. Ralph says, "Oh my God, Robin, that Parliament clip was like Monty Python." Upper class twit of the year, Rishi Sunak. Smythe, Cabbage Jones. The European Commission on Human Rights, Steve observes, which for all of his faults, Churchill pushed hard for after World War II. Well, it's kind of like how even Richard Pinhead Nixon wouldn't be welcome in his own party now. It'd be too liberal. Here's a, thank you, Jessica. Jessica just made sure we're not a goose egg today. So we're down to $200. Thank you so much, Jessica. Headline, Bloomberg. Monthly mortgage payments could surge 22% if the U.S. defaults. Mortgage rates could soar to 8.4% if the debt ceiling isn't raised, pushing the mortgage payment on a typical home 22% higher. Cooling property sales. That's from Zillow. Borrowing $500,000 at 8.4%. Who can do that? I mean, I'm just a poor hillbilly girl, but who could do that? Would mean a monthly payment of more than $3,800 compared with about $3,095 with rates at 6.3%. Senior economist at Zillow, Jeff Tucker, said that if the Republicans choose default, it will send the housing market into a deep freeze. The weaker speaker, Kevers McCarthy, who cannot live, he just can't quit. George Anthony DeVolder Santos, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, Che Guevara. He's willing to play chicken with people's lives, and there are too many Americans willing to enable him. Oh, and today in genocide, a woman named Kelly Kraft is running for governor of Kentucky Stan. She will be the likely Republican nominee in that gubernatorial contest. And she has, she was on a telephone town hall Monday night, at which point she declared that if she is governor, quote, "We will not have transgenders in our school system." Machine guns? Gas chambers? Hangings? What's it going to be, Kelly? Those are her exact words. "We will not have transgenders in our school system." Oh, yes, you stupid woman, you will. They will just be tormented and more likely to engage in self-harm because they have to hide from people like Kelly Kraft. One of her her campaign spokescreeps immediately tried to clean up the mess and said, "Of course, Kelly was referring to woke ideologies being pushed in our schools. She's been advocating for the best for all children this entire campaign." You know, except the trans ones. She's up against the Attorney General of Kentucky, Stan Daniel Cameron. He's a nightmare. Remember him? Dodging, trying to dodge any responsibility for the slaughter of Breonna Taylor. There are 12 total candidates trying to get the Republican gubernatorial nomination. The primary is only 5 days away. State Senator Max Wise is her running mate, and he's the sponsor of Kentucky's attack on trans kids. Chris Hartman is executive director of the Fairness Campaign in Kentucky. He said her claim that she and Wise will somehow purge transgender kids from Kentucky schools is nothing more than an unhinged political promise she can't keep. None of the other candidates are railing this hard against LGBTQ youth because it won't work except to harm trans kids. Whoever wins will go up against Democratic Governor Andy Beshear. He's trying to get his second term. Telephone town hall featured real questions that were really submitted by real Kentuckians. They were all about gun rights and protecting the precious little fetuses. And illegal drugs. One of those real questions. How will you combat the transgender agenda? That's when she said, under a Kraft-Wise administration, we will not have transgenders in our school system. And then repeated herself. Under a Kraft-Wise administration, we will not have transgender. And it's so sad because that issue polls really well with Republican voters. Kentucky is a nightmare state. God. It's chilling. It's hard for me to get out of West Virginia without going through Kentucky. Hey, Kevin, up in Massachusetts, thank you so much. You've gotten us down to 175 this evening. That's so helpful. Thank you so much. Yeah, Flavio, I covered that story yesterday. The city of Naperville gun case. Our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties may just put the entire assault rifle question not to bed, but into the grave. What a horror. Oh, and here, here's one. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister has been disinvited from the San Francisco Pride Parade. And he, of course, is butthurt because he says he's an ally, and he'd been acknowledged as an ally, and he'd even gone so far as to say that the San Francisco Pride could use their one hit, "We're Not Gonna Take It," and change it to "Queer Not Gonna Take It." He's been disinvited because he responded to a post by Paul Stanley, gender specialist of KISS, who went to social media to unburden himself of things that he doesn't know a damn thing about. Paul Stanley said, "My thoughts on what I'm seeing. There's a big difference between teaching acceptance and normalizing and even encouraging participation in a lifestyle that confuses young children into questioning their sexual identification as though some sort of game, and then parents in some cases allow it." He was conciliatory, though, Paul Stanley was. "There are individuals who as adults may decide reassignment is their needed choice, but turning this into a game or parents normalizing it as some sort of natural alternative or believing that because a little boy likes to play dress up in his sister's clothes or a girl in her brother's, we should lead them steps further down a path that's far from the innocence of what they are doing." Oh my God, that is not what happens. "With many children who have no real sense of sexuality or sexual experiences caught up in the fun of using pronouns and saying what they identify as, some adults mistakenly confuse teaching acceptance with normalizing and encouraging a situation that has been a struggle for those truly affected and have turned it into a sad and dangerous fad." Oh. Well, where does Dee Snider come into this? Well, he quote-tweeted Paul Stanley and said, "You know what? There was a time where I felt pretty, too. Glad my parents didn't jump to any rash conclusions." Well said, Paul Stanley. Good Lord. So that's when San Francisco Gay Pride Parade disinvited him. At which point, Dee Snider became terribly, terribly butthurt. "So I hear I'm transphobic, really? My lifetime is supporting the transgender community's right to identify as they want and honoring whatever changes they make and how they present themselves to the world isn't enough. Why not?" Well, San Francisco Pride got it right. When we were notified about the tweet in which Dee expressed support for KISS's Paul Stanley's transphobic statement, we were heartbroken and angry. The message perpetuated by that tweet casts doubt on young trans people's ability to self-identify with their gender. We've mutually agreed to part ways, but appreciate Dee seeing this as a teachable moment and a reminder that even allies need to be educated to ensure that they are not casually promoting transphobia. To all our allies, we want to call you in, not call you out. It's very well said. And to go back to a story that we had yesterday featuring a contestant for stupidest man in the Senate of the United States, Tommy the Tuber. Thanks, Ralphs. Well, he got some questions, Tommy the Tuber did, from reporters today about what he said about Nazis and white nationalists and the like in the military. Julie Serkin of NBC asked him what the comments that he made to WBHM in Birmingham Monday meant when they asked him if white nationalists should be allowed to serve in the military. Tommy the Tuber said, well, the Biden administration calls them white nationalists. I call them Americans. And so Julie Serkin lobbed him a softball. You want to clarify your comments?
Well, the Democrats characterize all MAGA Republicans in the military as white nationalists. Wrong. Okay, we can't get politics in the military. This has nothing to do with extremists and all this. You know, my first day here was January 6th. Had several senators stand up on the Senate floor saying to me, we got too many white nationalists. I mean, what the heck is that?
See what I mean about stupidest man in the United States? Stupidest person in the United States Senate. Okay, well, no, it's okay. Marsha Triple X Blackburn, we can misgender her, him, it.
We all got different beliefs. Oh, my God, this.
Hockey puck, y'all.
What is a white nationalist? What the heck is that? We all got different beliefs. You know, I'm a Church of Christ.
The Church of Christ was the dominant religion in the town where I grew up, and that's why we couldn't have a prom, because our school principal was Church of Christ, and they wouldn't cotton to no dancing. I'm a Church of Christ. They won't even allow so much as a kazoo in their church. Everybody has to sing a cappella. I'm a Church of Christ. Catholics, we got different people. And we all have to make one military. We can't start distinguishing different types of people, okay? That's all I say. So Julie Serkin, gently pushing back, says, but sir, there are folks with white nationalist beliefs, unfortunately, in this country. Do you believe they should be serving in the military? To which the I'd say he's the leading contestant now for stupidest man in the United States Senate.
Well, we got to define that first. What is a white nationalist?
Julie Serkin replies, a white nationalist propagates Nazism. A white nationalist could be someone that doesn't believe that black and brown people are equals.
A white nationalist is a Nazi?
Well, that could be one of their beliefs, a white supremacist.
Well, I don't look at it like that.
How do you look at it?
I look at a white nationalist as a Trump Republican. That's what we're called all the time, a MAGA person, and that's what...
Do you agree with that characterization?
We agree that we should not be characterizing Trump supporters as white nationalists.
So what you're saying is Democrats are painting Trump supporters as white nationalists, but that's not what they are?
Every day on the floor. The first day after I got here on January 6th, that night, and that's not right. Let's not get into politics and calling people names. Military's about somebody that's fighting for the security of all of us. I don't care if you're Catholic, Baptist, it don't make any difference.
He sees white nationalism because it's frequently said in the same breath as white as Christian nationalist as another religion.
We're all in this together. And so they're politicizing the military so much, it's ruining our military. Look at our recruiting. We're getting hammered. 15,000 down last year in Army. This year, one of the branches of military, at our quote at this point of recruiting, is what do they want to recruit? Something's going wrong in our military. So I've seen where different leaders have said stuff about me and about our military. They need to worry about building the military. Don't worry about me and building a military that protects all of us and our allies. That's what I'm about. I don't know if I want ranch or blue cheese or Thousand Island on that word salad. He does know he is the senior senator now from Alabamistan. And he knows that the people who put him in office are Christian nationalists and white nationalists. And he's got to keep those little assholes who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings happy. Great googly moogly. But he quietly made an admission. Maggots often do tend to be white nationalists. Because, again, we don't shy away from saying this here. The United States of America, broadly, and the United States military, particularly, have a Nazi problem. And it's only getting worse. And until they are purged, and until it becomes absolutely unacceptable in this country to be a Nazi, we are going to keep having a Nazi problem. Ron Johnson and Marsha Triple X Blackburn have some catching up to do. Rather a lot, really. Now let's go over to the stress line, see who's there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Well, hey, Ken, how are you?
And Northwest PA.
How are you?
That Mr. Potato Head has kind of ridden my brain. Like, I had some things to say, and it's so stupid that I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
You know, Mr. Tuber. Tell me the Tuber, you know. Dumbest man in Congress. Isn't he? He really is.
Well, in the Senate. In the Senate, you know, I don't even know if Tommy the Tuber can catch up
Congress
marginal trailer queen, Lauren Boober.
Yeah, for sure. I think Marjorie is slightly smarter than him. But, you know, a couple IQ points don't amount to much. Does it? I think it's funny. And Kiss sucks. Kiss was the worst band, like, ever. The manufactured garbage that they put out. The God of Thunder. Like, come on. Stop it.
Lick it up.
Oh, yeah, lick it up. Oh, God.
Oh, give me AC/DC any day of the week.
I'm not a big fan of AC/DC, but they're at least way better, man. In my opinion.
It was sometime last year when I realized, Lady B and I were going back and forth, music-wise.
Right.
And, somehow or another, She Shook Me All Night Long came up. And the little light went on. I went, son of a gun, all these years I've been listening to that song, and I never realized it was a love ballad.
Because it is.
It is?
Yeah. Listen to it sometime.
Okay.
It's a love song.
Yeah. No, I'll pass.
I'll pass.
No, I love your own, but I just can't. I like metal, and I can do the screamo, but for whatever reason, it's so simplistic. That's what bugs me. It's such a simple beat all the time, and that's my objection to current music.
Yeah, a drummer could be bored to death.
Absolutely. So I often wonder, like, is he a really talented drummer, or he just can't play above his level, and he's happy doing that. Like, fine, you know, that's cool. I mean, he gets fine, and they're making tons of residual. So
yeah, my favorite example is the drummer from Golden Earring on Radar Love. It's a 7-minute song.
Yeah.
It's a 7-minute song, and all he does is
boring as hell.
Until you finally get to the drum solo, and dude goes wild. He's the most patient drummer on earth.
And then God, I'm gonna beat. I won't say that. Like, but and all the ginger breaker, like. I don't know. You listen to younger players coming up, they blow my mind. I'm talking about doing mushrooms. Like, wow, these guys are incredible. So I don't have any worries. I just worry about the music industry in and of itself, which I know you do.
Well, my favorite, one of my favorite, I'm sure you've been listening when Scott and I have on all too many occasions.
Oh, absolutely.
Mentioned the famous Casey Kasem clip. Ponderous, man, ponderous, remember? Well, one of my other favorite clips is Buddy Rich losing it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
On the bus.
Yeah, controlling Dirk. I think his reputation, landed on these guys. I'm not going to condone his behavior, and I mean, you shouldn't shit on your bandmates, but I don't know. He had a reputation. He was a good musician, as opposed to Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley and the bunch of cross-dressers. I'm sorry. No, that came out wrong. The theatrical nonsense that they put on. There's no real comparison.
Other than the genre. I've got the Buddy Rich clip queued up. Let's enjoy that for a second. I love this so much.
Okay.
Here we go.
What the fuck do you think is going on here? You had too many fucking days off and you think this is a game. You think I'm the only one that's going to work up there? Well, you motherfuckers sit out there and cram all over this fucking joint. What do you think this is, anyhow? What kind of plane do you think this is? What kind of miscue do you call this? What fucking bed do you think you're playing on, motherfuckers? You want to fuck with me on the bandstand? Shut that fucking door. I'm up there working my balls off, trying to do somebody a favor, and you motherfuckers are sucking all over this joint. What kind of trumpet section do you call us tonight? And saxophone? You've got to fucking be kidding me! How dare you call yourselves professional? Assholes are playing like fucking children out there! You got your... Where the fuck are you? That's fine.
I've heard that clip, and I've always wished that there was, also a clip of the band playing that night, just to see if it was as bad as he said.
Oh, fuck no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was not. I mean, there wasn't. There were probably all union players back in this time, right? There was a musicians union, and there was a non-professional in that band. Forget it. You can play in that band and not be good. Otherwise, Kiss, you can suck and whatever. And fake it. With some kind of creation from some hedge fund freaking genius. I hate these people. Can Clarence Thomas, like, just kill himself?
Harsh.
I think he should hate himself so much. It's harsh. But, you know, I kind of want that. Harry Carey or modesty? Is modesty, is that a word? I think I forgot it, Robin. You remind me?
Modesty?
Yeah.
Last I checked, it still is.
Is it archaic? Is it a colloquial term? Is it domnatoria? How is that? Domnatoria? Or you can't speak it? The Egyptian thing? You know what I'm saying? Domnatoria? Or you know it.
I don't know if I do.
I think you do. When you erase somebody's...
Oh, damnatio memoriae.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't take Latin, so forgive me.
Yeah, it just took me a second.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't... whatever. I skip all over the place. I've been thinking about so many things I want to talk to you about. And I forget most of them. Like Scott or like me. I'm kind of a scatterbrain. Boy, I'm so glad that that big hole that you had a couple of days ago.
It wasn't just the hole. It was the fact that the hole was going to cause this program to go off the air. So, thank you.
I know.
Thank heaven for the little miracle.
It scares the living shit out of me. It scares the living shit out of me, Robin. And I really...
Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody.
Hope people... I know, but that's me. I'm a little scared little mouse. I'm a little guy. So... I get scared and I get worried that things are going to change for the worse. I always feel like that.
Well, we'll keep. We're trying to keep it on the air, and you and you're quite a help too.
I think I'm gonna check my couch cushions and. I might have some little change caught in the couch cushions. We'll leave it at that, but hopefully I can, scrounge a couple of pennies together and send it your way that we keep you on. Kiss sucks. Did I say that? Oh, I did.
Yeah, you did. It might bear repeating.
It does, and I'll say it again, Kiss sucks. So bad. Gene Simmons. Oh, so gross. Ew. Ew. Him and his big tongue. Gross. How about CNN? That was fantastical, wasn't it? I didn't watch it. I suppose you watched it for the team here.
No, I did not.
Or you? You just watched snippets?
No,
of it.
No, oh, okay. I wasn't. I was not gonna help out. I was not gonna help CNN to give that monster more airtime.
How stupid is that? Why are they chasing after 20% of the population? As a business decision, it isn't a business decision. It's a ideological decision. You think?
I don't know if it, no, I think it was, the word I would use for it is venal.
Well, the ratings for Trump thing, but what the CNN, their whole shift. I know you worked at CNN, and they used to be
reputable,
almost respectable, but yeah. That's really sad. I was thinking about the CNN thing and how bad it just atrophied. And I thought about our local paper. We used to have a great local newspaper. And it got bought out by some USA Today shit.
Gannett, yeah.
And boy, it is horrible. It's horrible. It's unreadable. I had to cancel it. And like, they keep sending me stuff. I'm like, resubscribe. I'm like, well, you destroyed your paper. Why should I buy the garbage that's like, that used to have local news? It's not local anymore. Everything is some giant clusterfuck in China, for all I know. Yikes.
Yeah, yikes.
Yikes, Robin. That's scary. The end times, man.
Several people have pointed out, Ken, that what happened last night was something more than a preview of what 2024 is going to be like. Last night was time travel. Last night was 2024. And particularly with him, until the day that he breathes out and doesn't breathe in again, this country is going to remain in peril.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's another nitwit Nero out there, but he seems to have a unique hold over a certain segment of the population of this country. And those people are going to continue to be empowered. Until he is just gone.
Well, we've always had that fascism problem, but they need to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, Henry Wallace at one point in time, FDR's vice president, warned about it. Others did as well.
Yeah. Hmm. And so if somebody can put the bill, I agree with you. I don't really see anybody that can fit it. The Sanders is pretty weak. He's weak. No energy. Meatball Ron. I don't see anybody stepping in the breach. Lindsey G, no, ain't gonna happen. They don't really have a bench to fill that, you know, high spot, that pitcher's mound, so to speak.
It's gonna be
crazy stuff. We got a primary May 16th.
Y'all in Kentucky, maybe another, all have odd year elections. Is that correct?
I mean,
you're not. It's not. Pennsylvania's not going to be a gubernatorial election or anything like that. Kentucky does have a gubernatorial election this year.
Oh, okay. Not a bigger deal there. Crazy. They can kick more members out because they, black. Yikes. Insanity, Robin. It's insanity. Well, at least a judge, running for judge, and I asked him straight up. He's in retail politics, and I grew up with a kid. He's a couple years younger than I am. He's running for judge, and he came and knocked on my door. And I'm like, are you crazy? I asked him straight up, like, are you afraid of getting shot? And then I did ask, they don't run with, political parties on judgeships. And I asked him straight up, is it a Democrat? And I would never vote for a Republican. He said Democrat, so I do trust him as that. Very inspiring young man, I gotta say. Good baseball player. I was on his baseball team way back. And I was so bad. My batting average, guess what it was?
What was it?
Zero.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
No walks.
Good.
Well, a walk or a hit by pitch is
no,
that's not an at bat. Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't bother. Why would you walk somebody that can't hit a fucking baseball? Are you nuts?
Yeah,
I got clonked on the head with a ball out in right field or left field. I don't even know what field I was in. Some other field. I was probably high. I don't know. Probably not that young, but whatever.
So is everything?
What other stories you got?
Oh, I've got a stack of them.
Emilio
wrote a little bit ago and said, "Why after the Tommy the Tuber story?" And said, "Can't we all white nationalism is in the eye of the beholder? Can't we all just get along? Aryans and KKK, MAGA and teabaggers, people who can't dance, and those that think dancing is evil. Kumbaya, my Führer. Kumbaya." Quality.
Oh, no. I can't dance either. You're going to shoot me. Yikes.
No. What else is there, you ask? In the midst of all the other ugliness from last night, and it was ugly, quite possibly the most dangerous was what Nitwit Nero said about the debt ceiling. He told Republicans to go ahead and default unless Joe Biden gives into their ransom demands for
massive spending cuts. I say to the Republicans out there, congressmen and senators, if they don't give you massive cuts, you're going to have to do a default.
This is a guy who went bankrupt how many times?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so he's
I got a business degree from Wharton.
Remember the story of one of his professors who said he was quite possibly the stupidest individual he'd ever had in his classroom?
Yeah, I do.
But then he said,
and the Democrats will absolutely cave. But right now we're spending money like drunken sailors.
Oh, no.
You know what's funny, though?
There's a sailors get a hard rap.
There is a constitutional provision. There's a constitutional provision, Ken, that says that it's almost like a commandment.
Yeah,
thou shalt not question the validity of the public debt.
Right.
And I don't know why that isn't why that isn't being used to just hammer the Republicans. Because that's fundamentally and essentially what they're doing.
Like CNN or anybody that questions, like, well, what about that plot last night? Like, excuse my French, but like, honestly, the national debt, come on, man, it's money already spent. You pay your debts. I've had debts and you got lots of them. Everybody else pays their debts, but not us. You have to. Yeah, cut out your food. Let's not eat for a month. Come on. They always want to describe it as your budget at home, which isn't. I wish I could print my own money. I have trees out back here, but none of them grow money. I keep hoping, but there's no Benjamins floating off these trees back here.
My trees are equally barren.
Yeah, they have beautiful maples and pines, sagebark, hickories. Oh, I got nuts. I got tons of nuts. You want some nuts?
What kind?
Hickory nuts. They're a real pain in the ass.
They
for
are.
A little payoff.
Yeah, and
so yeah, it's more of a pain in the ass.
They're probably not as much of a pain in the ass to they're not as much of a pain in the ass to shell as black walnuts.
Oh yeah, there was one back here. It died of the black walnuts, but yeah, beautiful the toxic shells of those. That was the acidic oil, I think. Acidic or basic, I'm not even sure. But feels the same. Right? But the hickory nuts are very, very tasty.
Are they? I've never had
one. A couple
of
times made some. It's a real, it's nondescript. You don't really have a lot of taste. It's like a nutty flavor, but... yeah, it's like not really pronounced. Oh, I mean,
I read once that Cherokee people had made something called hickory milk that was an absolutely delicious beverage.
Huh. I can't imagine how you would do that.
I can't either, but I've always wanted to try it.
I'm gonna buy it anyway. But if you don't have anything to eat, then I guess you wouldn't do it. I'm lucky I can go to Giant Eagle and buy food. Lucky me, right?
It was called Kanuchi.
Huh. That's wild.
And I found
I was thinking about that too.
I found a recipe for
go ahead.
It starts out with hickory nut meats, and it's pounded into a paste.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hours and hours of labor. Wow.
And there's even a YouTube video of a Cherokee elder by the name of Edith Knight making it.
Wow. Very, very interesting. I need a squash. What happened to your old squash that you had? Were you able to fill them? I know you gave some seeds to Roger.
Yeah, Roger has grown it. I don't know if he's growing it again this year.
Oh, is he? That's super. Thank you, Roger. Roger.
Yeah, so if you can gather up a bunch of hickory nuts, you can look this video up and maybe make Kanuchi.
Well, they're not in season now.
No,
in the fall.
That's the fall, yeah.
They fall. Yeah. Plus these trees, I mean, they have so many things. They have little, I don't know, like cocoons falling off of them. All those little seeds, I guess. I don't know, I'm not a botanist, you can tell. there used to be so many birches right here. There's, we have one birch tree right here in the back. It's a crooked yule thing that survived the plague of, I don't know, the late 70s? Some kind of caterpillar come along and just destroyed every single birch tree back here. But I do have one right now, right above my back porch where I'm at now. The thing is a weird looking tree. I like it. It looks weird. it has somehow survived. It's all crookedy and a strange little tree. So did you get to watch the OA?
The which?
The OA. Last time we talked, I mentioned this show.
Oh, I have not yet. No, I have not been able to yet.
Yeah, okay. But again, it's a little weird, but very interesting.
I will look it up. It's on the list. I've actually got a list in the bedroom, so
I don't want to give it anyway, but it might be a little disturbing in some parts.
Well, we've been captivated by Mrs. Davis.
Oh, okay. Mrs. Davis?
It's quite good.
Huh. What platform is that on?
I think it's on Prime. No, it's on Peacock. It's on Peacock.
Oh, okay. Well, I got that one. I got Peacock, so I'll write that down and check that out. That's always interesting. We can find common ground and different things. And the art, the beauty, where we can just... escape away from this madness that we're living in.
Hey, Ken, somebody else is trying to get through on the stress line. Let me try to get another call in here.
Okay.
I hope you're well.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Peace. I love you. And love to the Hart family. And I hope to talk soon.
All right. Take care, Ken. Bye. Let's see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi. Take care, Ken.
Hello.
Hello, Robin. It's Gary out in New Mexico.
Hey, Gary. How are you? Thank you so much for last night.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a little backstory to it. That's why I called in.
Okay.
I was going to write you an email about it, but it's kind of funny. So, things have been really, really rough the past few years with me, but it's found money, so to speak, even though I really needed it. But I finally got, I think it was a COVID relief money or something from the state after about 2 years. It's almost 2 years, I think. I never did get the payment when I was supposed to, when they were sending $300 checks out. Or I think $600 for married couples or whatever, back a couple of years, And Well, I finally made some inquiries and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, was pending, and finally I showed up, you know. And so I said to myself, well, I think I'll just figure that the state just never came through, you know, and I'd go ahead and send it in and do, planning to do a, have a show on me, you know?
Yeah.
And, so you were about at $300 at the time on the program. And I was sitting there listening, and I says, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and send the 300 in. You know, it'll wipe out the, what your goal was. And, you know, you would have major, major,
extortion payment
deficit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. Well, I went to PayPal, and of course, it's been so long since I've sent anybody anything on PayPal. I just, well, other than like your, you know, in a month, you know, subscriber or whatever. But that, it does it automatically. I don't do it, you know, it just goes in automatically. So I hadn't been to PayPal for a long time. So I went in, I said, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I have a show with me. And I started farting around and trying to send money. And I forgot my password or username and whatever, you know. And I don't know. It just was one of those tech kind of things that just irritate the hell out of me. And because I always screw them up, seemingly. And I finally managed, you know, to go through the whole thing and do the redo username and password and blah, blah, blah. And finally got in. And when I got in, you were down to, I think it was about $205 to go. I said, well, I'll just send him the $205. But then I heard Tracy had called in, and y'all were talking, but, you know, I was like farting around with PayPal and kind of half listening and whatever. But I kind of got the point of, you know, the sorrow and the pain she's going through, losing, you know, a good, companion, you know, and all that. And I've been through it a couple times myself, you know, throughout my life, you know, losing dogs after, you know, one of them after having the dog for 14 and a half years, another one for about 4 years. And then I'm on my third dog, Border Collie now, who's still kicking, going pretty good, who I've had for 10 years. And I know what she's going through, you know, and so then I says, well, I think I'll just do a have a show on Kimba, you know.
That was really sweet.
I did the PayPal thing, but I couldn't figure out how to send a message, you know. And so then I just typed the email in, and you caught that, because this was like right toward the end of the program, you know.
It was.
By the time I managed to figure things out, you know. But, yeah, so, you know, I said, well, you know, you come out on the plus side anyway, and that'll still be off for a while, unless I find some more money from the state, you know, because I'm still in pretty dire straits, and especially with the inflation.
Oh, Lord, yes.
But you brought something up a little bit earlier, okay, about the Democrats not going after something. I forget what you said it was.
Oh, you mean the provision that says thou shalt not question the validity of the public debt?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know what you said, but if that was it, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. And Biden should come out with that. You know, he should come out and just say, hey, fuck you, Republicans. We're going to pay our debts. You know, what do you want, America? You want us to pay our debts or fucking default? Tell me what you want, America. You know what I mean? If you want and a I'd like to hope
the majority of America would say no. We'd like to remain a going concern.
Yeah. Well, you want a default? You vote for these fucking guys next time around. You want to fucking be honorable and pay your fucking debts? You vote for us. Get rid of these fuckers. Okay? They're destroying this country. They want to destroy this country. You know what I mean? Wake the fuck up, America. The other thing they should need to go after is the fucking oil companies. You know,
yes.
I don't get Biden permitting whatever he permitted up there in the Arctic,
whatever it is,
Alaska or whatever he permitted.
That's still, it still baffles me.
But I mean, they need to go after the oil companies, you know. Everything runs on fucking oil, whether we like it or not. Whether we want to get off it or not, it still fucking runs on oil, you know. And these pricks, you know, they basically, you know, did what they did in the 70s. Same goddamn thing. You know, the minute fucking the Ruskies fucking crossed the border, you know, they jacked the fucking prices up, you know. And says, oh, they're going to keep going up because of the Ruskies. You know what I mean? Same thing. Just like, oh, they went up because of those goddamn Arabs. You know, back in the 70s, that's all you fucking heard. And I don't know why the Democrats really don't go after these pricks, you know what I mean? And beat the shit out of them, you know what I mean? Seems like they're fucking, you know, they don't want to touch them or kissing their ass or whatever. But, you know, I mean, all the inflation, all the price increases, all have to do with oil, period. End of fucking story. You know what I mean? And that's what they need. I think that's what they need to do. I think that's an issue. You know what I mean? If you're going to talk about economics, you know, and they're just, you know, they're going to continue to beat on Biden, you know, because he's sitting in the Oval Office, you know, and that all this shit is his fault. You know, of course, they, you know, they come out and say everything's his fault. You know, anyway, so you know, I just keep my fingers crossed and, you know, hopefully he keeps it together. Because, I mean, if for whatever reason we have to run Kamala Harris?
Yeah, Kamala.
I think we'll be in trouble. Yeah, we'll be in trouble against Trump, you know, if he ends up. You know, I'm like Mike, you know, Mike Malago. I wish that fucker would choke on a burger, you know. Hope that son of a bitch chokes on a burger, you know, and get rid of this fucker, you know, because I don't know. I don't think anybody would be worse than this guy. Ever, you know. I think this guy is just fucking pure evil walking. You know, he's been that way. You know, the guy's run his life with, you know, how do I do business with this guy or these people or this woman or whatever? And how do I fuck him? You know what I mean? It's never been his whole entire life. It's never been, how do I do, you know, an honest deal, you know, a deal that I like and a deal that they like, you know? You know, mutual business ethics or whatever. I guess it still exists, you know, with some people and even some corporations, but by and large, it's, you know, with this guy, it's never even existed. So he's just an evil fuck he always will be. So, but looks like he's going to get the nomination. By the way, the poll that these fuckers in the mainstream media were all giddy about, you know, what was it? I forget what it was. ABC?
Yeah, I think it was ABC. That showed Biden losing
Washington
to Trump?
Post. Yeah, yeah. Well, another poll came out, and actually a better poll number-wise. When I say number-wise, it had, ABC poll had about a, I think about a 1,200 respondents or something like that. I forget exactly what it was. But the other one was like 1,800 respondents and a smaller margin of error with it. And it was done by, I'm not sure if it was Yahoo, some other organization, or just published out there by Yahoo. I don't, not real sure. But it showed just the opposite, you know, and it came out. You could, if you hadn't heard about it, you could probably look it up, you know, maybe Google it and find it and look at the numbers. But it was just the opposite, you know. So, you know, again, I always thought that the mainstream press was always tried to be as surreptitious as possible. But when the suits, you know, want somebody to be elected, you know what I mean? They do things just like CNN, what CNN did, you know, with, you know, giving this fucking idiot a platform, you know. When was that? Last night?
Yeah.
I know you were talking about it.
Yeah, it was last night. So gross.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous, you know? You know, unless they announce, you know, they're going to give, you know, Biden, you know, an equal opportunity. You know what I mean?
But you know they won't, Gary. They won't. But,
yeah.
Because this was simply
they don't even cover
simply,
the guy.
This was simply a ratings dodge.
Yeah, they don't even cover the Biden White House. You don't get any fucking news about what's going on. The only thing time you get something is all the fucking borders being overrun. You know?
With Title 42 disappearing today, that I've just been getting a steady stream of stories about crisis at the border.
Yeah, the border's being overrun. Look at them crossing all that Constantino wire. And the Constantino wire is on the Mexican side. Or if it's on the American side, it's between the river and the fence, right? But they're showing these fucking people swarming across this Constantino wire, and they're saying, oh, they're invading. You know, they're not getting by the fence. You know, this fence is still there, you know? I mean, that's fucking just bullshit reporting. But, you know, they've been historically noted for that, you know, going back six decades, you know, ever since JFK's assassination, you know, and their continuous defense of the fucking Warren Report, you know, which they still do to this very day. You know, but anyway, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I just want to let you know about the backstory to that. You know,
I'm glad you did.
I was going through my mind. Have a show on me and forget about that. I got even with the state, or finally got this state money, or oh shit, I really need this money, which is true. You know, fuck it, you know, just do, you know.
Well, Gary, let me ask you while I've got you on the line. Are you, I mean, you're in New Mexico and have been for a number of years. Do you like it there? Do you like it there?
I've been here 20, you know, I've been with Local 16 out here for 25 years, and I've been retired for a while, and I started out in Farmington and joined Local 16 up at the sub office in Farmington, and started working out on the labor crews out there at the power plants, and you know, I like the Farmington with Bloomfield, you know, about 12 miles down the road from Farmington for 4 or 5 years. And then finally, when they asked me to become an instructor with the local, training fund back in 2004, I moved down to Moriarty here because our site was just a couple miles from where I live on the border between Moriarty and the town of Edgewood. Out here, I really, you know, I like it. It's small town, you know, pretty quiet.
What do you think of New Mexico state government?
Right now, I haven't been paying that close attention to it since I'm retired. And, you know, the old Anaya restaurant's been closed for a while. We saw all gather over there for coffee in the morning when Bruce King was alive and Don King was alive and Tony and I had come by, Mike and I, and they're all the big Democratic Party going years back. You know, Tony and I was governor and Bruce King was governor. All that good stuff, you know, and they're all Moriarty boys, you know. And, you know, out here it's, you know, a little less involved. You know, Mike is, you know, he's like 95. You know, Tony, Bruce King died a while back. And Don King died a couple years later. You know, some of the King boys are still around. Got ranches in the area and stuff like that. But I've been kind of, you know, I'm still sort of active. You know what I mean? I still drive people that need a ride to the polls and all that, but I'm not quite as active, you know, and I was a little more active with the union, you know, when I was still, you know, working at the call, so to speak. But you know, I've slacked back, you know, quite a bit, so I don't follow. Before, I'd be up to Roundhouse 3-4 times a year, you know, lobbying, you know, either House committees or Senate committees or governor's office or whatever. But, you know, those days are sort of behind me. But I'm sort of thinking it's getting better. But if you ask me, well, how, I really couldn't quite give you a specific answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We gotta be doing a little bit better than, I hate to say it, that fucking bitch Martinez, you know, because, you know, she was just trying to be a union killer during her 8 years. During her tenure, we lost some good funding that, you know, I don't want to get the details of the programs and everything, but some good funding. I mean, that we actually pay into, you know, as an organization, but, you know, really got reduced down. But anyway, those are bygone years now. But I'm not sure. I probably should, you know, look into it a little bit more. Or watch the news a little bit more, because the news will be going, oh, that Michelle Grisham, and I know her pretty good, you know. I've met her on numerous occasions, you know. You know, she always seemed like a pretty good woman, and I was a little disappointed with the first words in her office were, oh, what was this? Oh God, I think your guys did it. Was one of the, I remember you talking about it. I forget which governor. You know, I mean, should I have been listening to you for I don't know how long now? No.
Yeah.
Way back. We're open for business.
Oh God, the Joe Manchin line.
Joe Manchin. We're open for business.
Yeah, and Jethreen Bodine, you know, the governor of Arkansas, said the same thing the other day. I think Joe Manchin should probably get royalties. That was his bullshit slogan back when he was governor. He pissed the state off something fierce because we're kind of proud of the fact that our Welcome to West Virginia signs say Welcome to Wild, Wonderful West Virginia. Well, Joe got a wild hair up his ass and changed it to Welcome to West Virginia, Open for Business. That dog did
open
not
business,
hunt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes. I was watching some kind of deal going on at the roundhouse. I don't know if it was swearing in or whatever. And I remember once you said it, I was thinking, I said, God damn it, you know, I should call Daryl up and find out what the fuck's going on with this woman. You know, and, you know, he's our president of local. But he doubles as the political guy, you know, and you know, I kind of stay in touch with him, you know, a little bit. I call him every few months or whatever and talk a little bit about politics. Pretty much, you know, the union stuff, you know, not much beyond that, but, you know, says I ought to call him and find out what the hell's going on. What the hell does she mean, open for business, you know? I don't know. You know, we got her reelected, you know, so, you know, I know unemployment's really low, but I guess they've done a pretty good job of, you know, doing some policies to get the employment numbers back up, you know, from the disaster from the COVID lockdown stuff, you know. And beyond that, I'm really not too sure. I know every once in a while I don't watch local news, and I watch about 10 minutes of local news before my filthy morning habit, which is Good Morning America, for the next 15 minutes.
We all have one, don't we?
Headlines, and then I'm done, you know, because that's like, you know, toast and coffee time for me or whatever, usually, you know, and then that's all I do. You know, that's all I do. Other than watching, you know, some sports or maybe some documentaries or whatever, PBS once in a while. I don't watch that much TV. But anyway, Tracy, if you're listening, just remember, you know, I know there's the pain and sorrow, you know, you're going to have it for a while, you know, it's going to subside, and then you're going to remember, you know, the joy and the happiness, and always have those memories of, you know, your companion. And that's the way I look at it with my past dogs. You know, the same thing. You know, they're always in my memories, and they'll probably be in your dreams, just like my dogs are. You know, pleasant dreams. So, you know, but I'm certainly sorry to hear of your loss. So, Take care. Keep your chin up.
Even if she's not listening, I will convey that to her, and that will mean a lot to her, Gary. I really appreciate that.
Well, yeah, it was sort of, like I said, I was sort of half listening. But I did catch a part about, her losing, the dog, and, I know how. I mean, when I had to put my first two dogs down, it was just, it was crushing and heartbreaking. Oh, Jesus. And now I got my third dog, which I've almost had him for 10 years. And I got him out of the city pound in Farmington. And I called my ex-brother-in-law up. I found him on the website. I said, go take a look at these two border collies up in Farmington. I have a preference for border collies, And but this guy, he wasn't the traditional black and white. He's Merle and white. And he's just a really handsome dog, He was in the pound. I said, Jesus. Well, he was picked up as a stray. They brought him to the pound. And then Teresa went over there, took a look, and she says, I said, you're probably going to want the male. He seems to be kind of laid back. But the female dog that was a traditional black and white female border collie there, she seems to be a little... real hyper, And I says, okay. I says, and then John went over and I says, okay. I said, pay for him right now. Tell him done deal. But I couldn't get back up to Farmington for two more weeks when I had to go to Farmington Hall and do some classes up there. But it wasn't for another couple of weeks. I said, I was still working full time. At the time. No, I was part-time, but almost full-time. Even though I was part-time, I was retired. And, I finally got up there to do some classes and went over and went and picked him up. And he's been a hell of a dog since. He was a little rough starting out, getting him house-trained. But that might have been the reason they cut him loose, because the area he was found in, there's a lot of little ranches, yeah. that are owned by Dine folks,
Yeah.
And they go big time for those border collie dogs, those herding dogs.
They're great herding dogs.
They run small herds of cattle, a lot of them. 15, 20, a couple dozen head or whatever. And they all love those herding dogs, whether they're the Wassy dogs or even the Heelers or border collies, I said, him not to get scooped up by somebody, So he was roaming around and I guess somebody picked him up and finally brought him into, because he wasn't in Farmington where they picked him up. He was actually about halfway to Shiprock, But somebody picked him up and they took him into the pound in Farmington. That may have been the only place they could have brought him to. I don't know. I would think Shiprock has a pound, but which was actually closer to where they picked him up. He ended up in Farmington, and so they ran a website, showing all the animals they had available for adoption. Second adopted dog, and my first dog was a stray.
Well, Gary, it has been one
onto the property.
It has been wonderful talking to you, and I'm so glad you called in. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah.
And
The only thing bad about it out here, and same thing with your kinfolk, is we're about the same. We're Grants and Moriarty about carbon copies, weather-wise, temperature-wise. we just can't get out of the goddamn 30s for low temperatures that night. You know, I think we busted 42 nights this year so far.
Wow.
So it's been killing the energy bill, you know. And, you know, I mean, I'm still running heat, you know.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be running the heat tonight, you know. It's going to be.
Does it get warmer as you go further south?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're here. See, I'm at 6,300 feet.
Right.
And Grant 6,300 feet. You know, so that makes a big difference than, say, Albuquerque. Albuquerque is, you know, 53. You know, so we're another 1,000 feet higher, you know, where your daughter and
yeah, they're actually in Albuquerque now.
Oh, they're in Albuquerque now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then, you know, it's a little bit better. It's like, you know, it's Albuquerque height today, I think was 78 and windy, and here's 69 right now. So, and tonight our low will be 34.
Oh, brutal.
And we break into the 40s tomorrow night, and we're in the 40s for the next 5 nights. So maybe we're finally through this horseshit. You know? But yeah, it's been kind of a cold spring, you know, overly cold spring, especially at night. So geez, less than 2 weeks ago, we were down to 15 and 13.
Holy crap.
Over here. 2 nights in a row. You know, it was like refreeze. Everybody's worried about everything, you know, freezing, you know. Crops freezing and all that kind of shit, you know. So, it's been a real, real strange spring when it comes to the overnight lows. But, all right, let me let you go. No, you're welcome. I wish I had more to go your way, but, you know, you'll still get the monthly stuff. But
I so appreciate it.
No, I can easily pretend, you know what I mean, that I never got it. You know, it's like 2 years.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, but finally came through. Okay, Robin, you have a... good evening, and take care, and hopefully you can keep the lights on and keep things going.
Yeah, please, God, just let it warm up a little bit so we're not running heat anymore. Golly Moses, it's been brutal. Gary, have a great evening. Right. It's always so good to hear from you. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, all right.
That was a wonderful conversation. I have my reasons for asking about New Mexico. Thanks, everybody. We will be at 575 tomorrow. I'll keep plugging away so I can pay the next ransom demand. Ugh. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much tonight. That's Jessica and Kevin. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky, this evening. Thank you. Thanks to all three of our moderators, Sparky and Steve and Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a comment, please. It's helping. It really is helping. Friday of the Front Porch tomorrow. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people. I know the Folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe and keep saying it. Hope you got insurance now. Get your booster. Wear your mask when you're around maggots, because they're still spreading disease. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And, of course, if some adipose jiggling bag of sin and grievances comes waddling towards you down the sidewalk saying,
"You're a nasty person. You're just a nasty person."
Well, avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.